Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Tuesday, January 4th, and I am reading from the New International Version. Just to give you a little personal update, my family and I are recovering from COVID. Wayne is over his quarantine period. I think that by this point, Eleanor will almost be through her quarantine period and able to go back to school tomorrow, and May will go back on the 6th. So I am recording from my home studio in the closet. So let's get started with Genesis chapter 3, the fall. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will certainly not die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." To the woman he said, "I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." To Adam he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return." Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all the living. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. And the Lord God said, "The man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever." So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. And now let's move over to the book of Psalms. Today we are reading Psalm 31, verses 1 through 13. This is for the director of music, a psalm of David. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Keep me free from the trap that is now set for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Deliver me, Lord, my faithful God. I hate those who cling to worthless idols. As for me, I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in your love, for you saw my affliction and knew the anguish of my soul. You have not given me into the hands of the enemy, but have set my feet in a spacious place. Be merciful to me, Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and body with grief. My life is consumed by anguish and my years by groaning. My strength fails because of my affliction and my bones grow weak. Because of all my enemies, I am the utter contempt of my neighbors and an object of dread to my closest friends. Those who see me on the street flee from me. I am forgotten as though I were dead. I have become like broken pottery. For I hear many whispering, terror on every side. They conspire against me and plot to take my life. This is a beautiful psalm. In verse 5, we hear the Lord on the cross saying, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." He said that from the cross, and David says it here in the psalm. And it can be a prayer for us as well, Lord. We want to commit our spirits to you, Lord, that all that we do, that all that we are, that you, Lord, would be the one to deliver us. Then on down in verse 9 and 10, we have some language for grieving, for praying in the midst of grief. And if we ourselves are not grieving right now, let us stop and remember those in our fellowship who are torn by grief. Verse 9, "Be merciful to me, Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and body with grief." Lord, for those who are consumed by anguish, whose years feel like groaning, would you give them strength in the midst of their affliction and help their weak bones to grow strong? In our reading tomorrow, this psalm will turn to trust in the Lord. And that is how we pray, isn't it? It is lamenting and it is trusting. It is saying, "Lord, where are you?" And it is saying, "Praise be to the Lord, for you are always here." It is that up and down, which the psalms again and again help us to approach the Lord with sincerity and with faith. Okay, let's move on to Mark. Today we are in Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. I'm loving reading through the Gospel of Mark, and I hope that you are enjoying it as well. Today we get to read about Jesus forgiving and healing a paralyzed man. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. I was just struck here as we were reading Mark 2 with the fact that Jesus knows our thoughts. Can you imagine being in that room when Jesus speaks up to the teachers of the law and says, why are you thinking these things? And then they are startled and they turn to one another and ponder, did I say that aloud? Jesus knows our thoughts. And so we ask, Lord, even now that you would purify our hearts and you would purify our thoughts and you would help us to be a people who seek after you in word, indeed, in thought, and in intention. Help us, Lord, to be a people who love your word, who obey it, and who seek to be dependent upon you as we look to your word. Thank you for the reminders in the psalm that you are the one to whom we can cling in times of grief. And thank you, Lord, for the passage in Genesis where we see that even though Adam and Eve had sinned against you, you were gracious with them and you gave them a covering of skin. You sacrificed an animal, the first sacrifice in Scripture, so that we could be covered. And this is a picture of what you do for us in Jesus our Lord. And we thank you that you cover us with the blood of Jesus, that you cover us with his sacrificial blood. And so because of Jesus, we can stand before you even now and pray. We praise you, Lord, for you are creator, you are sustainer, you are the one to whom all things bow. And so we ask, Lord Jesus, that you would have mercy on us, that you would have mercy on our land, that you would eradicate our land of COVID, that you would protect those that are most vulnerable, and you would help us, Lord, to contend alongside one another. When we see someone in need, help us to be the hands and feet of Christ. We love you, Lord, and we pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen.